Hello, from the newsroom of the Financial Times in New York, I'm Amy Keene. Today we're looking at the life and legacy of one of the most influential monetary policymakers of the 20th century, Paul Volcker. Mr. Volcker is perhaps best known for crushing inflation in the late 70s and early 80s. The FT's Gillian Tett recently spoke to Paul Volcker at his home in New York, and she shared a few excerpts from their conversation.
Paul Volcker and I first met 2 decades ago when I was writing a book about the financial crisis in Japan. And so I used to go and see him in his office at the Rockefeller Center and interview him on his thoughts about how to deal with financial crises in America and elsewhere in the world. Recently, almost out of the blue, I was contacted by Public Affairs, a publisher of Paul Volcker's forthcoming memoir, who told me that he was keen to sit down and talk to me about his book. I'd always previously met him in his office or else at conferences or various dinners in Washington, New York, and elsewhere. But this time, his publisher and his wife Anka said they wanted me to go and see him at his house. He is ill. So, one Saturday afternoon, I went to see him in his study, where he was sitting on a reclining chair in what he'd like to call a yoga suit, and had just enough strength to talk to me for about half an hour. It was a humbling and inspiring conversation from a man who has, in many ways, been a towering figure of 20th century finance and has some strong thoughts that he wants to impart to the 21st century generation.
You know, I am an old man. When I went to Washington, all excited as a young person, pretty quickly in pretty responsible positions. Washington was a middle-sized city. It had the advantages of museums and stuff because it was the capital city. It was basically a middle-class city. Very few lobbyists. There were only 2 big lobbyists, Chamber of Commerce and the CIO AFL. Everybody bragged about the one restaurant the Kennedys went to. That was the only restaurant in Washington. Your friends were, might even be a congressman or a senator, top staff people. That was the community. That community is, I don't know, treading water at best.
One of the things that Paul Volcker often laments is the extraordinary power of lobbyists in Washington and New York. And he points out that when he was there as chairman of the Fed, he didn't have to deal with a swarm of lobbyists. Today, that is very different.
There were maybe 3 prestigious law firms in Washington back in the 50s and 60s. They may have had a floor on K Street. Then a little while, they bought 2 or 3 floors. 3 years later, they bought the whole building. Now they buy another building. It's true, they got 2 buildings now. And what the hell are they all doing? They're lobbying. The amount of money that's been spent on the Volcker Rule, just to take one example, is ridiculous.
After the 2008 financial crisis, President Barack Obama actually approached Paul Volcker and asked him if he wanted to become Treasury Secretary. He said he was too old, but he then acted as an advisor to the White House and helped to craft some of the post-2008 financial reforms, including the so-called Volcker Rule, which prevents large banks from engaging in speculative proprietary trading. It's a controversial rule because the large banks often say that it's very hard to distinguish between trades which are being done on behalf of their customers and proprietary trades. And in their role as market makers, they often have to take risks themselves. And personally, I think that some of these criticisms are indeed correct. But the key point is that Chairman Volcker was determined to find ways to lower the level of speculative risk-taking by deposit-taking institutions, with a view to making the financial system safer, and that was certainly an admirable goal. In the last couple of years, there has been a return, or in fact an increase, an acceleration of lobbying by large banks, partly because the public and political focus on finance and financial reform has been diminished. And these days, there is a veritable army of financial lobbyists who are chiseling away at many of the reforms that were introduced after 2008. In some cases, they are actually improving the rules and making them more effective. In other cases, though, they're simply trying to ensure that finance has a freer hand to act and make more profits.
Look, the reason I like this so-called Volcker Rule is not just to search out every particular proprietary bet that's made. If they enforce the goddamn rule, then it begins changing the compensation practices a little bit, and it changes the whole atmosphere in the trading room, where they don't spend all their time figuring out how to make something that looks like a proprietary trade but may not be a proprietary trade. Regulation is a tough business. It runs straight into the politics.
And you need to have a crisis to actually get any change.
That's right. Well, we'll have one. Just, you're 50 years old, you've got time for two.
I asked him about the risks in the global economic system today, and one of the ones he pointed to was the rising tensions between America and China, and in particular the fact that the Chinese have not behaved as most Americans presumed and tried to turn themselves into free market democratic economy, but instead are forging their own path, which is increasingly on a collision course with the West.
And where do you see US-China relations going?
Tricky. Obviously, the Chinese are saying, you thought we were buying into your great mission of collective, happy openness and free trade. Well, we learned a little, and we ain't buying into that.
So. Yeah.
And I think it can be peaceable, but obviously raw around the edges. It's a big edge.
How concerned are you that the financial system is unstable at the moment?
Well, it's hard for me to tell, but I think there's a lot of leverage going on, a lot of debt being created, everybody with money, interest rates very low, got to make some money. We'll buy another company, leverage the hell out of it, sell it to somebody else that'll leverage it even more.
Are you worried about the United Nations and the fact that's losing credibility too?
I'm worried about all international institutions. I mean, I think they're necessary, but they sure are hard to manage.
Chairman Volcker is under no illusions that at the age of 90 he doesn't have a lot of time left to get his key messages out. So at the end of our interview, I asked him what he hoped that his legacy would be.
So can I ask, what would you like your legacy to be defined by?
I really like my legacy to be some attention to public service, but it's a losing cause. And when I grew up, good government was a good slogan. Now the phrase good government is a mockery.
That was Paul Volcker in conversation with the FT's Gillian Tett. You can read Gillian's column on Mr. Volcker's life and legacy at FT.com today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another news feature. And in the meantime, look out for our brand new news headlines show. It's called FT News Briefing, and you can find it on all of the usual podcast platforms and at ft.com/newsbriefing.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.